Old Testament reading today is from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. You can follow along on the screens or in your bulletin, or just open your heart to your ears to receive this, a word from God. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise again the house of Jeroboam with the sword. A reading.
As the kids find their way either back to their seats with you or out for the children's time, I invite you to join me for the New Testament reading, which comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have a guilty confession as you're one of your new co-senior pastors. I watch a lot of the Andy Griffith Show. I know that's an old show. It's in black and white. And in a lot of ways, it's outdated. And granted, it comes from a time in history where there were some things going on in our culture and society that we've shined a light on since then when it comes to race and gender. And so there's some things about that show that are a little bit out of touch. But at the same time, I enjoy watching it and just enjoy the characters and the stories. And again, I guess another guilty confession is I've made my children watch it. And there was even a moment where all of us would sit around and watch the Andy Griffith Show together. I feel much better now, having gotten that off my chest. Thank you. But one of the things that I like about that show, one of the things that's entertaining to me, is some of the phrases that you hear, the colloquialisms, you know, the things that they say on there that you just don't hear. Things like, when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. You know this one? It means when I was really young or really short, yeah. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I mean, you know, that means I'll try, or hopefully if nothing goes wrong, I'll be able to do whatever it is. Preaching to the choir, that's one that I'd heard on there, which means you're trying to convince somebody, you're explaining something to someone who's already there with you. Bless your heart. That's a nice southern colloquialism. And you know, on the one hand, it means, oh, I'm so sorry, or, you know, I hate to hear that, or I care about you. And then there's that other level of meaning that that phrase comes with, you know, which is kind of like, And then there was one, that's plumb wrong. And I didn't understand what that meant, you know, like the nature of that phrase or that saying. So I had to have it explained to me. And right, saying something is plumb wrong means that it's out of plumb, which calls into reference a plumb line like this one with a plumb bob at the end of it, right? And so this is a tool that's used in construction, typically, say, of a wall, to make sure that the wall is built at a 90-degree angle, straight, you know, from top to bottom. And so a builder would drop a plumb line down because the plumb, when it gets to the floor, should make a 90-degree angle, right? And there's even, like, you know, a little tip at the end of it so that a builder could mark the point on the floor and the point on the ceiling and know that they're about to build a wall that's straight at a 90-degree angle up and down. And so to say something's plumb wrong means it's out of plumb. It means it's not right, and obviously not right. You can tell if you ever look down a wall, along a wall that's not plumb, right? It just sort of waves a little bit. But I never hear anybody say that's plumb right, you know, which would be the opposite of that, I guess, if something is plumb. But the scripture that Emily read from Amos, this is the image that God uses to teach Amos and to teach Israel something. It says that God took Amos to a wall that had been built with a plumb line, so that would tell us that the wall was straight. And then it says God has a plumb line in his hand and tells Amos, I'm going to put a plumb line amongst my people, the nation of Israel. Which gives you a sense that God was going to say, this is what's right. This is what is true. This is what is good. This is the straight way. And then he says, and I'm no longer going to pass them by. Which another way to say that might be, I will no longer pass them over. Which was the same language that was used in the Exodus during the Passover. Which would draw to mind for Amos and for Israel that time when God told them that he was going to wipe out the firstborn of everyone in Egypt unless they had the sacrificial blood of the lamb over their doorpost, in which case the angel of death would pass them by or pass them over. But God has said to Israel in this moment through the prophet Isaiah, I'm not passing you over anymore. I'm putting a plumb line among you to show you what is right, what is good, what is straight. One of the Old Testament commentaries that I was reading said about Amos, the prophet, and how he described Israel at that time when this prophecy was made, was this. He said, this is the picture of society Amos painted so vividly. Two classes had developed, rich and poor. The rich had summer and winter homes crammed with art and furniture. The poor were oppressed. Justice was a commodity to be purchased, even in the towns that housed sacred shrines, but where Yahweh, God, was no longer present. The God of Israel had come to despise their rituals. It was as if in this period in history, this prosperous time for Israel, it was as if they had forgotten their identity as a redeemed and delivered people. They'd forgotten the lessons of their ancestors, even Cain, who said to God in a question that seemed to contain its own answer, am I my brother's keeper? They seemed to have forgotten the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham on behalf of all of his descendants when he said, I'll give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore, so that you might be a blessing for all nations. They'd gotten so caught up in seeking after prosperity. They'd gotten so comfortable with what they had and enjoyed that they lost sight of who God intended them to be for the whole world. The good news is, even in Amos, God's last word is not judgment. It's salvation. If you read the 9th chapter of Amos, the conclusion, you read that God says, I will restore my people. I will bring them back to who I created them to be. And what we find in the New Testament, particularly in the reading from Ephesians just now, is that God, as the great carpenter, the great architect, the great builder, the great creator, has dropped a plumb line from heaven into our existence. And his name is Jesus. Jesus is it. Jesus is the immanence and the transcendence, the human and the divine. God's presence here now with us. God's example, demonstration of what is right, what is good, what is holy. Jesus is the gospel of our salvation, the good news. And the writer of Ephesians says, when we set our hope in Christ, and we believe in Him, and we follow in His way, then we receive our inheritance, which is to be plumb right. Living into plumb is our inheritance, our promise, our purpose. Jesus is the plumb line. And so when we look to Jesus, what do we see? Compassion, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, peace, sacrifice, serving, giving, seeking out and caring for those who are excluded, left out, overlooked, marginalized, people who are hurting, hopeless, hungry. I'll tell you what, America, if we're going to build a wall, it better be plumb with Jesus. And that's inside of us. It's inside of all of us. This calling, drawing us to be plumb with who God created us to be, with how God created the world to be. Now, it's also true when you're building a wall, particularly today, not necessarily stacking the stones of the walls that they would have built at Amos's time, but particularly today, if you're framing in a wall with a wood frame, the truth is, it gets tougher and tougher the closer you get it to plumb. It gets harder and harder to move that board or that stud to get it straight because it starts to snug up tight. And it kind of wedges in between what is above and what is below. And yet, this is the beautiful, difficult work that God does in us and among us. The work of redemption and restoration, salvation of me and of you and of the world. But now, this is not something that we accomplish. The writer of Ephesians says that we're marked, when we put our hope in Christ, we're marked by the seal of the Holy Spirit as a pledge of our inheritance. So it's the constant and consistent work of the Holy Spirit of God bringing us into plumb. And it's also true that even an already constructed wall gets out of plumb over time, right? The ground shifts underneath it. Gravity takes effect. Every year older I get, I realize how much gravity takes effect. And walls take a beating from time to time from the elements in their environment, and so inevitably we get out of plumb. So there's a sense in which we're always being restored to that plumb right place. And so maybe then the question becomes, well, are we willing? Are we open to the Holy Spirit of God, the God of all creation, to bring us, to bring our lives, to bring our hearts, to bring our world into plumb? Is there anything out of plumb? Just as we sit here for this moment, a question for all of us. Is there anything out of plumb in the world, in this country, in the church, in me, in you? Is there sin? Is there hurt? Is there brokenness? Is there addiction? Is there injustice? Is there unforgiveness? And is there a willingness, an openness to the Spirit of God, the God of all creation, calling us, calling the world to God's self? This is what God created us for. This is what we are destined for. This is our greatest end, to be right with God and to be right with the world. And that's plumb right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.